Mics are live.
Wow.
All right. Hey, Julie, we're all here now. We're just waiting for one more staff member to come in.
Great.
Hey, did Sam get his room cleaned up yet, Commissioner?
No, not yet.
Did you tell him that I'm going to have to come by for inspection later today?
he's asking for chicken noodle soup, though.
All right, well, if you don't mind, Madam Chair, we'll get rolling if that's all right.
Sounds great. Thank you for spearheading the meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Take turns. Take care of each other. Thank you, and Andy both for covering for me yesterday when I was at that funeral as well too. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting at 11 o'clock today for a work session on a variety of cases. Case number PU 12-830. Other cases listed in the announcement, so I'm not going to read all of them. But really, what it comes down to is it's the continuing work sessions on the settlement agreement, or some might call it the restack, that's been in front of this commission for quite some time. I don't have any opening comments other than I can go through it when the time is right, but I'd see if Randy has anything and then go to you, Julie, if you have anything.
I do not have opening comments, but thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, do you have any comments before we get rolling?
No, I don't either. Just thank you to staff for getting us the draft order yesterday so we could peek through it.
Okay, well, if I could, then I'll just kind of cue it up here. And Steve, can you track down and see where our general counsel wandered out to, or Mike Ken or somebody? There she is. Alana just wandered in, wandered out. But basically, my recollection is that we've had numerous work sessions on this. In the last work session, I recall that my remembering of this situation was that we the three of us seemed to be okay with it, except for there was a couple big points about what we thought about 12CP, how that phraseology should lay out, as well as how the recs would be credited for. And Excel filed a revised settlement agreement with the staff. And in my read of it is it really took care of the issues that I thought that I had on it. So I quite honestly don't have any other issues. I'm ready to support the settlement agreement. But I guess we'll go to Randy first because he's sitting there and see what your two thoughts are. But they've really taken care of the concerns that I had.
The phraseology was kind of my big concern last time, and I thought I had marked the new language regarding where I was concerned about advocacy staff.
It's actually in the
committing
settlement
all the way, and now I can't find. I thought I had marked it, but I'm.
It's in the settlement,
both
right?
On page 7 of the.
It's on the end.
Settlement.
Toward the end, it seems like.
It's not in the order. The order adopts the settlement. It actually changes in the settlement.
I thought it changed slightly in the order as well.
Well, the order...
There was something about they agreed to...
The order changed because, A, it was not worded correctly, and B, the settlement changed. So, yes, the order had to change in order to reflect the accurate. But the language that was of concern to Commissioner Chrisman, the new language is page 7 of the settlement filed yesterday.
I don't have that settlement in front of me, so I'm just trusting that the order that I read is kind of reflective of the changes in settlement.
I hope so. Do you want me to read that paragraph?
I was just going to say,
sure,
Alana,
that'd be great,
Alana.
The new language of the settlement is the parties agree that the conclusions of the allocator study filed with the commission on April 27, 2015 support the continued use of 12CP jurisdictional allocation method. To that end, this agreement establishes a rebuttable presumption, and those are the magic words that are different from before, that the 12CP jurisdictional allocation method is appropriate for allocating applicable system costs between North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. In the event that circumstances have sufficiently changed such that staff believes it is appropriate to rebut the rebuttable presumption established in this paragraph, One, staff will notify NSP of its intentions as early as possible. And two, staff will work in good faith with NSP to reach agreement on an appropriate allocation methodology in light of the rebuttable presumption established in this paragraph. The provisions of this paragraph expire on December 31, 2025. Jerry and I looked at that and talked about it, and we both think that it addresses what we heard at the work session, and we think it's very reasonable language.
Do you want to highlight the rec change too, Alana?
Okay, and it's right the next paragraph. Environmental attributes are those credits, allowances, offsets, and other similar rights associated with renewable electric generation that can be used to, one, satisfy the company's renewable energy requirements in any of the states it operates in, and or two, claim responsibility for ownership of, avoidance of, or reduction of legally recognized emissions or pollutants. The company and staff agree to establish the principle that it would be inequitable to allocate environmental attributes to the company's North Dakota jurisdiction from a generation resource in the event that, one, the commission rejects an advance determination of prudence for such resource unless and until full recovery of the allocable North Dakota costs is approved in a later proceeding, or two, costs of the generation resource are disallowed in a rate case or other proceeding. Jerry and I looked at that language, and we think it is exactly what we heard would be equitable and also addresses our concerns. And then there's a paragraph that says, if the Clean Power Plan turns out to require something else, none of this applies.
So, I think both those are good. I like both those changes.
Yeah.
So regarding the first one, that satisfies my concern that I had at the previous work session. So fine there too. Regarding the second one, can you just refresh me? We have a work session coming up on RECs.
We don't have actually this Thursday. It's MRETS is coming out and giving us a presentation about what their role is or isn't, depending upon states, for helping process, for lack of better words, these directs. So it has nothing to do with this case.
Okay, I'm with you now, and I recall as well. So.
But we do have another session on RECs coming up. It's been one that we've put off several times.
But it doesn't sound like this is really committing us to anything on general philosophies on those. This just has to do with generation facilities that we deem not to be prudent. Or that we did not deem to be prudent.
Well, and more so that you deem that you require ratepayers to pay for or don't allow them to pay for. I mean, because the sentence even says, you know, you might deny prudence, but later it might come up in a rate case. So it's really, I think, and I hope I'm right, you guys can nod or one way or the other, it narrowed in my mind this settlement language about RECs to simply the concept that everybody thought was a reasonable concept. If North Dakota ratepayers are paying for the generation that produces the RECs, then North Dakota gets to decide what happens to those RECs. And if not, the company gets to decide and just tries to draw the line between what ratepayers are paying for in North Dakota versus everything else.
And since this is part of a settlement, does this apply then? Is that a policy then that we're kind of obligated to follow with other companies?
Well, the commission is not necessarily obligated to follow something that is in a case-by-case settlement that it adopts as reasonable for this situation. I don't think the precedent there necessarily is controlling. It might be arguable, but not necessarily controlling. But one of the reasons that the group used this language, established the principle. Is that in this one or is that in the other one? No, that's in the other one. Yeah, it's in this one too, establish the principle. I think the parties did want to, for NSP's situation, establish a principle that if the commission buys off on, the commission is also saying, under the situation and the circumstances that I know today, I think that principle is reasonable. And that's what we heard at the work session last time, that if we're not paying for the generation, how could we have the RECs?
Well, in many cases, I don't think that that's reasonable, and NSP might be just a unique case where I would be all right with it. But, you know, I realize that it's been stayed, and right now it's not the law of the land, but
well, this accepts
the Clean Power Plan, and at some point something else, that's an ongoing issue. And as the environmental movement, for lack of a better term at the moment, wants to ratchet down on, well, I guess, many different things, but especially CO2, they kind of blame jurisdictions where the emissions come from. And there are other Minnesota companies who are generating power in North Dakota that North Dakota is in many instances getting blamed for. And so to just say, well, because North Dakotans aren't paying for it, they shouldn't get the credit for it, but they will get the blame for it, I don't agree to that.
Well, you just verbalized what I was trying to get at the hearing, that hypothetically we might be able to claim the credit for something that we're not paying for, okay? But that's why this paragraph is in here that accepts, now it doesn't accept some new rule that comes down the pike, but it does accept what eventually may happen under the Clean Power Plan, which is the sort of known contingency, if there is such a thing.
Well, I would say that I don't disagree with my colleagues summarizing of what may happen, but this is on a set of facts that were presented in front of us for a company that has a higher renewable standard than Otter Tail in that same jurisdiction, and we're trying to figure out the best case going forward with this set of facts, and I don't think that anything in this settlement agreement applies to what we might do with Otter Tail or applies to what we might do with MDU or applies to what we might have in our own, if the state does submit a SIP. I don't think anything in here is binding to any of those other cases because it's based on, they're unique. It's a unique situation.
And it's a settlement. It's fact-finding.
Exactly. So this is based on what we did in this case, with these facts, this settlement. I don't think anybody should take this as what we would do with Otter Tail or MDU or anybody else.
I think it's always possible in any settlement, in any case, that there may be some facts, some alignment of facts and circumstances that makes what you did inequitable and that you need to readdress. And that's when you do a notice. Somebody asks you to change an order or you do your own notice saying we're thinking of changing the order. That's always possible. It's kind of a last resort, and I don't think it's very likely, but it's always possible. But we did try to address what we could reasonably foresee. I mean, I think the companies, and that's what I was asking them about.
Should it be the notwithstanding the Clean Power Plan or other similar legislation or something like that, just regarding the fact that this one might get overturned and they might come up with CPP 2.0 or something like that? Or do you think that that's things that new law then that couldn't have been foreseen when we did this settlement and it doesn't really need to acknowledge
that? Well, I think that might open the gate here a little too far. I mean, I'm not trying to put words in the company's mouth, but from what I understand, that might be concerning to the company. I don't know if there could be an agreement that had that additional maybe in it. But, you know, I can certainly ask them.
I think, you know, we're on record here as being pretty clear that we're not looking at this as a precedent for every company or every case. NSP does have unique characteristics. One is they're not operating any of the plants that are creating the CO2 in North Dakota either. And then the fact that they're under stricter regulatory requirements in Minnesota.
I should have read the whole paragraph, and I'm sorry I skipped over it, but it does say Clean Power Plan, successor regulations, state or federal implementation plans, or related court orders. So there is a little bit of a successor to the Clean Power Plan language in there already, and I apologize. Mike just pointed it out to me.
Well, and you could take this all the way. I mean, we have we have the 15 community-based energy seabed projects are not included, so, but that doesn't mean that some company may not come forward at some point in time with some type of community-based energy project. We may approve it. I mean, so you can read this back and forth every way you want to, but it is back to a settlement agreement for one company that I think it doesn't hold anything other than what this company has to comply with. And I think that, just so Randy and Julie know, I was not thinking about adding this to tomorrow's agenda by any means. I was thinking about the next commission meeting because I do want to go back through with the numbers. Jerry's out today for medical stuff, but I wanted to get the final numbers where we're at, where when you take out the seabed project, that's a certain dollars that go away, but then you add back in the PPAs for Odell and Pleasant Valley, that'll add back in some costs. So try to get some final numbers, unless you could point me to those somewhere, Alana, where how this might shake itself out.
I don't have those. I would need to get those for you.
That's what I wanted to do before we'd ever vote in this thing, because I think, I can't say it's going to be a wash, but I know that it's, I think this has turned out to be really good, given the light of the Clean Power Plan being stayed and all those things. We held the line here, and I think we did a lot of things that now we're not be required because of the stay, maybe never, maybe down the road, but we kept a collar on some of these costs. But that's, what I guess, what I was thinking going forward.
Okay. And then I had one jump backwards a little bit, too. The thermal generation, originally it was 400 megawatts by 2036, and then it got moved up to 2025. But did we discuss how it went from 400 to 200?
I do not recall.
I don't recall that either.
I thought
made the assumption that it was more in line with what they anticipated needing by that point, but based on their forecast.
I thought we were still at the same number as we started out with, and now I see it's only half as much, and I wondered if that was a typo or if we had discussed that and I've forgotten, or at what point we decided that less was fine too.
I don't have an answer for you. I'd have to look it up, or we'd have to ask someone in the room who might know.
Well, and that's where I think maybe some of the follow-up I can do before the next meeting, but I'm thinking it's a combination of that CapEx line has been completed into Fargo, and there's probably some numbers that were gained out of there, and there's probably folks sitting right behind me could answer that, but I do think, quite honestly, that 200 megawatts is more in line with realistic needs and for reliability in that area than 400 megawatts. But would you want staff to circle back around with you, Randy, or is that
something? Yeah, please.
We could certainly do that.
It's something in here that I would be unable to explain to anyone.
Well, I'm looking at page 3 now as I look a little closer. Since making the 20th, page 3 of the February 22nd settlement agreement, since making the 2036 commitment, the company has completed its 2016-2030 resource plan, identified a capacity need arising in 2025, and then it goes on basically, that's what they got down to, they need at least 200 megawatts in East North Dakota no later than December 31st, 2025. So I think it's kind of what Julie just said, that their 2016-2030 resource plan identified a capacity need a little bit earlier and a little bit smaller. Alana, did you find something else, too, on that?
No, just the paragraph above where it said in the rate settlement they agreed to the 400. okay, by 2036. So that's just the paragraph just above where you were reading.
Right.
So it seems to flow up, yes, up to 400. And now we're between 2 and 4 because it's at least 200.
But that seems fair because even the resource planning would models is what we would follow. You wouldn't want to just do 400 just because. There's got to be a reason why behind it. So it gives that the first one was language up to 400. The other one says at least 300. So it could settle in at 250, 320, whatever the updated forecast for need is at that time. So I think that probably answers the question.
Yeah, and I see now in this proposed order, it, in reflecting back, that it was up to 400 too. So,
Julie, do you have any thoughts about that? We're kind of bantering back and forth. They're not letting you have a chance to speak.
No, I am agreeing with the settlement as it's proposed with those modifications to the language. I think those are good changes, and I think your timeline is right. So I'm on board with this.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. Randy, you have any other thoughts for Alana? We missed anything?
Nope.
Okay, so if you could just, we'll you and I and Jared will put together the cost numbers, and then we'll add it to the agenda for 2 weeks from tomorrow. Is that okay with everyone?
All right. Sounds great, Brian.
All right, going once, going twice? All right, we'll close the work session. Thank you.
All right, thank you.